for their service and their commitment to you and your calling on their life. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would guide his words today as he shares, Lord God, that that would be edifying to us as a body, and that that you would be glorified in our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
All right, good morning. In a minute, I'm going to call my wife and girls up. But just before we start, God is amazing. He is awesome. Is he not? Amen. He did one of the most amazing things. He embodied himself in the body of Jesus and came to earth so that he could show us how to live. He was a man, lived, he died, so that we now can have that, as Ron was sharing, that veil's been torn, so we can have a direct relationship with God the Father. That is an amazing thing. And here we can share about that and tell people, say, man, Jesus loved you so much that he gave his whole life up. He came down, not only did he gave up his glory as the Father and glory as the Son in heaven to be here and live as a human being. That's a lot to give up if you can kind of wrap your mind around that a little bit. That's the embodiment of love there, so that we can have a relationship with him through his grace. It's free. We don't have to do things. We don't have to keep a tally. We don't have our ledger board that we're trying to balance out with good and bad. It's grace that he gave us, free for our accepting and to become a part of his family. Now, imagine that. You can understand that pretty easily. Go into a culture where you share that and they look at you kind of like, that's really funny. This tree back there and the walls over here and the garden outside, they all somehow managed, because those are all little gods to them, somehow managed to come together in the form of flesh. No, that's silly. I could never believe such a story. So you go somewhere where the concept of God is not at all anywhere close to our concept of what God is, and you realize, I can't just go there and say, this is truth. Let me read to you what Jesus has said and how you can have life, eternal life. You have to start a little differently. And we'll share a little bit of what we're doing, because that's kind of what we're about. We're doing cross-cultural missions, going to places, working with people that have come from a background of where there's not just a God. There may be many gods. God might be in them, through around them. They can influence God. Usually they're afraid of God, but not for the same reason that we should fear God. They're afraid of God because he might call a curse down on their garden, and then they're out of food, and they're starving, and they'll die. So they have to appease the gods. They have to do things to make him happy. And sometimes he's helping them to do something against somebody else that'll make them happy. Maybe they're having issues with a neighbor. They got to appease God, do something to make the global aspect balanced. Anyway, it's a unique challenge, but also a unique blessing. So with that, I'm going to have my wife come up and my two girls. I think we'll start, first, my girls would like to sing a song. And then we'll start with them, because they really want to go to their class. So that's something that they're pretty excited about here. They get to sit in a class in English and actually listen and follow the teacher a lot easier than trying to go back and forth from interpretations in their minds. And so I'll start with something that they can do, and I'll turn it over to the ladies there. Test, maybe just this. You guys want to just like sing?
Test.
They might sing.
Test. Oh. The light was on, so I was just.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Try it. You guys hold it. Say, test.
Hari ini, 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 hari
Mari kita bersukaria, bersukaria. Hari ini harinya Tuhan. Mari kita bersukaria. Hari ini harinya Tuhan. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Thank you, Ellie and Michaela. You'll see back here you have a title, kind of going back and forth between a couple of different titles, and it's more a little bit of a theme that we'll kind of touch on a little bit here and there. This Beauty from Pain, another was Blessings in Disguise. I'm sure many of you, looking back in retrospect, realize a lot of pain that you've gone through, a lot of the, for example, you look in Hebrews 12, 7, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son and daughters? For what son or daughter is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're illegitimate children and not true sons. So, looking back, you can see how much pain and sorrow and heartache often turns to something beautiful. Not always. Last week, many of you heard the testimonies that were given at Pierre, how God worked in a miraculous way in two different testimonies about the blessings that they received from God. And in both cases, to start it off, they didn't see, there was no promise God's going to bless them in this way or another. But looking back, they could see, wow, I was blessed from going through that. Last year was and the end of the year leading up to that was Sarah and my hardest year ever, I think, that we've ever experienced. In marriage, in family, in the work that we were doing, service, we got to a point where one night she woke up and we had to take some time just to talk together, and we realized we're so busy working for God that we've kind of left God on the back burner, so to speak, in the back corner. And he was kind of out of the picture, that we were doing stuff for God. We kind of forgot about our relationship and the importance of that personal relationship, that daily aspect of importance that keeps us strengthened, that was holding us together. We've kind of put that aside and just got so busy doing and doing. And we were like, man, here we are missionaries, and we're like, we are really hurting. We made some changes that night, and looking back, I see that as like a pinnacle of the pain, the hurt, and the, just the turmoil, and yet God used that to redirect and draw us to him in a different way that we haven't experienced in years, and it was wonderful, and I thank him for that. I wish we didn't have to have gone through that, but looking back, we see how God uses painful circumstances sometimes to bring about something beautiful, and there are lots of illustrations, you know, gold, the heating up of gold to get pure gold. There's, you can think of a dozen illustrations. But anyway, that's just as we go through, and really what we want to do this morning with all of you is, as more of, we think of this as a family reunion. This is one of our home churches. We grew up in the area here. And so we're kind of doing a report. You guys have been praying and supporting us along. We've been gone the last 3 years, and we're back here for a little while. So we'll do a little bit of a report, take turns sharing different little stories and pictures and stuff like that. We like that approach. But keep in mind, we're not some superhumans. We're not anything out of the ordinary, really. We're a couple of sinners that accepted a call from God to go out and be his light in a dark area and work for him. And we all have that responsibility to be the light in this dark world. So just keep that in mind as we're sharing through, where there's nothing super super or special or anything like that. We're just plugging forward in God's grace. And anyway, but thank you very much for your prayers. We want to say that up front. and for your support. That really gets us through when things are going south. We are encouraged and can continue forward from that strength. Anyway, so with that, I have to say next. So go to the slide of the, yes, of my retirement, looking out my retirement balcony there. Not really. Anyway, okay, go to the next one. That's just
unfortunately, the Lord has called us to a very hard place to look at and be around. No, it's beautiful where we get to serve.
So is our family. And you saw the two girls, Ellie and Michaela. It's 8, 7, and our boys just is 3. So, next slide. I'll try to follow so I know kind of what I'm supposed to go on. Okay, so where we are serving, and if you've ever looked at the table in the back there, we serve in, we call Asia Pacific, that country is Indonesia. The country name is Indonesia. The online or news-related name is Asia Pacific. It's a semi-open/closed country. It's the largest Muslim country in the world. So we do have some restrictions, and we have to be sort of careful about how we share about that, so, and what we're doing over there. And where we are is, you can go to the next slide, it's Manado. This is Indonesia. We're in the very north end of Sulawesi, the island of Sulawesi there, and we work at a missions, it's a cross-cultural missions and training school for nationals. We are one of the only foreign missionaries working there. Most of our coworkers are Indonesian coworkers, which is pretty unique for a training school. There we bring people from around Indonesia, pretty much, from different tribal church planting areas and other locations. They come to study. It's a 4-year program. It's 2 years of Bible school and 2 years of the cross-cultural training, which gets into how you translate scripture into a heart language of somebody who doesn't understand the general Indonesian trade language. So with that, you can go to the next slide, just kind of an aerial view of the campus that we're working at. And do you want to say anything about that?
That's it.
No. Okay. Nothing super fancy.
They have dedicated a large portion of the property there, you can see, to the soccer field, because that is important in the culture there. The dorms, the student dorms and the staff housing is mixed in there. The students come and live on campus. A lot of them are young families with children. You can see the little class. There's a dorm at the very top, and there's a little class. That's where the preschool kids go while their parents are in class. The rest of the school-age kids go to school, and they do get involved in the community a little bit and a local church while they're going to school there. If you could go to the next slide. One of the big things that we like to share is we're going there. Zach and I aren't like evangelists. That's not our spiritual gifting. But discipleship is heavy on our hearts. And one of the exciting things is even though these students are coming and they're Christian, that's what it says on their government ID, but they sometimes do not have an understanding of grace, saved through grace, and they do think that going to church and wearing nice clothes and giving their tithes to the church and not drinking and swearing and doing certain things, that's what's going to get them to heaven, and that's what makes the Lord pleased with them. And they keep thinking that they have to do these certain amount of prayers, and you get this as we're teaching them in their first year of Bible. And a lot of these students come to know the Lord as their Savior, even though they're from a Christian area. And those guys are the ones that, the new Christians, even the ones that come that already understood it, but they get a renewing of their faith when they're there. Those are the ones that are on fire, that get excited about what they're doing. And those are the ones that after they graduate from the 2 years of Bible school, they come back. Because they're usually at graduation for Bible, they're invited to come back and join our missions program. And many of them automatically just come back because they are on fire and they want to share the gospel. And that's not common in the Indonesian Christian church. The churches are very self-focused. They're not looking out to, they're not missions focused. I think we've shared it before. This church, this school was planted in Manado, put in Manado because it's a Christian city. It's got the most Christians.
Christian city.
And
like Fresno.
Like, I would say 10 or 20% of the students are from the city. Most of them are from Tribal Works, and the only reason they are Christians are because of missionaries that came in from outside. So they understand the need for missions.
The importance. They understand the importance of going out, being sent, and going out and being a part of that aspect, the hands and feet of the Lord. And as you mentioned, in general, because Indonesia was evangelized from other nations, they feel like that's the other nation's responsibility to keep evangelizing the lost in Indonesia, and they haven't realized that that's part of every believer's responsibility to disciple, whether it's in our area or to reach out to others. So going with education and, oh, yeah, okay.
Next.
You already went to that one. That's good. Okay. It's largely formal, but then we also have kind of informal, which would be gathering at our house or at our friend's house on a weekly basis for different discipleship meetings. We have regular discipleship groups. We split up the students every semester. We kind of rotate them a little bit so we can have a smaller group to focus on for discipleship. And that's where we get with a couple of staff and a small group of students, and we get the nitty-gritty and down and really see what they're understanding through the Bible classes, how they're implementing those skills and the things that they're learning to with their daily life, how they're dealing with life with their family. And now the husband no longer is beating the wife and the children because of his understanding of the grace of God that has come in through his better understanding of the gospel. And now you have people who are being more truthful because of their understanding of the gospel. So that's this discipleship, both formal and informal. We also have a local outreach kind of thing that we're a part of. It's not a part of the campus there. It's with some of the local guys and gals in our area. And I'm helping with another Korean coworker actually that's helped start this group up. And we realize we've been in this area with our focus on the campus, but there are people all around us here with very little little influence from what's happening on the campus. Why is that? Well, we're not being proactive. They're not just going to come onto the campus and hang out and learn about this. So we need to go out and reach out to them.
There's also church politics. They're very strongly tied. If you're part of a denomination, they're very strongly tied to that denomination. And our campus, our school is not, it's non-denominational. And they have a hard, if the students start going to a Bible study that our school has promoted, that it looks really bad for these students, these young people that would come to the Bible study. So we have to make it to sound like it's just a hangout time. We have to be very creative how we get them in. And they're hungry. They want to learn the word, but we have to be creative about what we call it, so that their community isn't thinking that we're trying to pull them away from the church, because that's not what we're trying to do either.
Yeah. So on this list here, you had the practical support aspect. This is an area that we're actually working more heavily with on the campus. So we have the Bible and Mission School, and then they also have, it's intertwined with practical support related classes that cover the education, that was the formal education. Medication is really, it's more health and wellness, my typo. Health and wellness, just training them, teaching them basics for that. Sarah is going to have a bigger part. They've asked her to be a part of this course, and she'll be our year here, which goes to about August. So in May, she'll be going back east to do some intensive medical training to help be a better instructor with that class. And she's looking forward to it. It's kind of a hobby for her. So we're looking forward to how she'll better be suited in helping with teaching that group of people there. Transportation, we'll get into that in a little bit. Filtration, sanitation, clean drinking water. You'll be surprised. You think, oh, the streams, the springs, all this. No, everything is so heavily contaminated. We drilled the well. It went down about 45 meters, and we're pulling very heavily contaminated water out from way down there. Just think unregulated, what would the right word be? People gardening and using chemicals to an unregulated amount. Stuff that's been outlawed in the U.S. for the last 50 years is still being used there on a regular basis, and too much of it. And it's really contaminated a lot of stuff. So we have to go through how you design and build a filtration system that can give you clean drinking water. Very, very practical things. Construction, community, community building, or we would call it community care. A little better than the community development that oftentimes leaves them more hurt than helped. Community care is how you incorporate the people with what they have available. How can they get involved so that they take responsibility for that? So when you leave, they're not just, oh, it broke down, we'll wait for the next guy to come along and fix it. So anyway, moving to the next picture. This is just one of the groups of guys here. We're doing a plumbing class. They're just showing their lists, or they're practicing. And there's a husband and a wife team in the back. And funny enough, we have campus politics. I'm sure you could think of school issues. Campus politics, the wives all go to school with the husbands. When it came to the practical skills class, we had a really hard time, not convincing the students, but convincing the staff that the wives should be a part of that. This is one of our first classes running through where the wives were a part of it, and we got some very, very excellent feedback from both the husbands and the wives that we were able to convince the staff to realize, okay, we have to have the wives a part of this. There's a Papuan couple in the back. He came forward and said, you know, this is great because oftentimes I forget different steps and sequential areas, and my wife, she's the one that comes and fills that in for me. And all aspects for life, if he's preparing a lesson, she helps and go over it just like my wife does for me. Ironic enough, some of the staff just didn't seem to understand initially that the wives, they play an important role in all aspects of our life, not just cleaning the kitchen and feeding the family. And they're learning. We're all in a learning process here. But for this family, another family, are missionaries, and her husband leaves for a couple weeks at a time to go in some of their outreach church planning locations, and she's left by herself at the house with some kids. And her reasoning was, what if something breaks? Don't I need to know how to fix it too? Just real simple things that we would take for granted, and yet they had to be kind of walked through very gently until, oh yeah, it is important that we teach them some of these basic skills. Anyway, next thing.
Well, this is kind of my, Zach is actually the principal of the school here that you see a picture of. But I'm the main teacher, and it's my main thing that I'm doing every day. From 8 to noon, usually, sometimes longer after lunch, we have to come back and finish some things up. But I take a big part of what I'm doing there is educating our three kids, and it's exciting, it's hard, but it's a good thing, and it's getting a little easier. My first couple years, I was scared, and I'm like, oh, I don't know how to do this, but God has been gracious to us, and it's been really good, and we're seeing the kids grow and begin to catch whatever you're teaching them. It's exciting, and then it's good. It's important to look back after like 2 years before, like what were they doing, and then seeing how far they've actually come. But yeah, this is what I'm doing most Monday through Friday, every morning. So
next.
And this is another thing that I'll be involved with. I'm involved with their health and wellness, whether I'm not a nurse. I don't have, besides having been a lifeguard for a summer, I don't really have any medical training. The only thing that qualifies me is that I have kids, and I've been hungry for knowledge because I'm in a country where the medical system has all the appearances of modernism, of being a modern medical system, but it's not. And
they reuse their latex gloves.
Depending on what hospital you're in. If they don't, you pay for them. The patient pays for the gloves to have the nurses use them. It's just not it's not modern, and they don't have good practice, where here, if somebody has a certain kind of symptom, the doctor will look and try to find out all the possibilities. They don't want to be sued. There's no way a patient's going to sue a doctor there, so there's not that even kind of partial accountability here, even though it's not probably not good that people are so sue-happy, because it does waste a lot of money in some ways, but it helps keep some accountability, and so that's not there. And I think it's somewhere between 3,500 patients per doctor, or there's just not enough doctors either. So and I've caught doctors making mistakes in prescriptions and had to correct that for my friends. And it's not because we did take a health class. We know where to look to find information on dosage. And so they'll come to us because they're afraid to do it themselves. And so I've been in that position a few times. We didn't really have a good picture for this. So this is a picture of Eli holding Zach's hand, because Zach is about to pass out because Eli's going to get a blood draw.
Yeah, it's my moral support.
This is a smoke and mirrors.
Next slide. Okay, we like this one. This is one of our planes, actually. We have a number of our tribal locations where we've got teams that are working interior, have runways that they've built. In some cases, we use a helicopter, and depending on the location primarily and the location of the tribal group or to an airport. So if it's closer by and it's a very mountainous area, for example, we'll use a helicopter. And one location that I have enjoyed to go to a few times and have done a number of projects in is a place where it literally takes about 7 minutes in a helicopter, and I've gone by motorcycle, and it takes you a good 3/4 of a day by motorcycle. So that just gives the difference of time. And on a motorcycle, you can only carry so much. You can't get there any other way unless you're walking. The trail's very rigorous on a motorbike, more of a dirt bike. But a helicopter can take quite a few pounds of supplies in. This picture here is actually one of our mixed teams that's doing a translation work, a Bible translation, and they're working on what we would say maturing the church that's now existing there of the locals. This is on an island called Buru, and we have a couple is Fani in there?
Fani's right here.
Okay, so we have a couple singles. A gala on the far, on the left there, is Canadian, and then we have a Monadnese gal kind of in the center. We have another family that's partially from the island and from a neighboring island. They've gone through all the Bible training and missions training, and they've joined up, and they're now working in this church plant here. They have an airstrip, and they have had instances where we need to get people out in a hurry for medical emergencies. The plane can fly in there. It takes a good 2.5 to 3 days to get into this tribal location. It's two boat rides and a long four-wheel drive or a motorbike ride in. It takes a total of 2.5 to 3 days to get there, or approximately 2 hours by plane. So if there's a medical emergency, which actually happened with one of the missionaries' children at one point, they were able to fly him out quickly. And if that wasn't the case, think of, yeah, you got bit by a very poisonous snake. Don't worry, we'll get you out of here in a couple of days, 3 days, maybe. Hopefully you're still alive, but you know. Anyway, so, and that is a blessing and a benefit of having this type of transportation with our bush pilots. And Filtration is working on a water filtration system, a large system. This is a big three-stage system that we're setting up for kind of a small community area. You can go to the next one.
That was filtration.
Yeah, you can just click through these. Another system and another location group where we incorporated the locals. They're using a lot of material from the area there, as well as some that we brought in with the helicopter. But again, they're taking responsibility to build and design the system partly. they have me kind of oversee, see what's needed, how to design it so it'll actually be something that'll last a while, hopefully, and be well cared for. And we turn that over to the people and let them figure out how they want to get involved, what they can balance and put in as far as work hours and responsibility. You can go to the next one. It's just a result of getting fresh water in there. Solar power systems. Our missionaries are translating scripture. It's not done the old-fashioned way anymore, where you're handwriting. It's all done on computers, which require electricity. There is no PG&E that come to these locations, so we have to set up solar power or generator systems. Generators are great for backup, but they're not good for everyday long-time use, so we do a lot of DC use with our PV, the solar systems. You can go to the next one. It's another system that we're setting up. I'm going to keep going because I know there's some more pictures that Sarah put on. Here's one place where we're actually doing a community water project, community care project with the people, and the use of a helicopter to sling material in for us, which is a blessing there. Next one there. This is a commissioning of one of our students who joined a mixed team. It's mostly Indonesian with a single German gal, and she's joining the team. She's actually working as one of the curriculum development. So after they've got scripture translated, they start making lessons so the people in the local church can start teaching it, and they have material to follow, and it helps ground them better as they continue through this discipleship process. And she's one of the curriculum developers and working with that. But she was one of the students and our coworker for our first few years being there.
This is what we did this morning with the young man.
With Brian.
Yeah.
So our mission, you can go to the next one. It'll come up, I think. Try clicking one more time.
It was there.
Oh, it skipped it. Okay, no, there is.
No. Try going back to the.
Well, I'll read it if it comes up or not. Our job as believers, as stated
there
in.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Our mission, to proclaim peace with God and to disciple. It came up earlier this morning. I saw it on some of the words and some of the music as well. It doesn't take much. You look around and you see hurting people. See people that are constantly searching to fill a void that they have. They're searching through all kinds of material, whatever it is to fill that hole. And I'm sure you've heard it. They talk about the God-shaped hole or a cross-shaped hole, and that something only that Christ can fill. And we, having that good news, proclaim it. There's peace with God. We have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to have peace with God through doing lots of good things. We're not going to have peace with God through anything I can do in my own works. There's only one way to have peace with God, and that's the one thing that we desperately need, is peace with God. And it's only through Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's from Romans 5, 1 and 2. And it's just kind of bringing back, this is what we're about. We're working here to disciple nationals and to teach them and train them and send them out as they continue to proclaim peace with God, to proclaim the good news. You can go to the next one. This was another one of our beauty from pain moments.
That was you.
I don't think I can get through this one.
Oh.
Sorry. okay. Anyway, well, our son had a couple of seizures at the beginning of last year. And the first one, he stopped breathing and we had to administer CPR. That's the first time I've had to do that other than just training on a dummy. And it was my son, and it was during a low moment for us in our life, and just in the midst of some struggles. And I think that was one of the things, actually one of the gears that kind of God used to start turning in our hearts about, like, hey, we're kind of missing the point in the picture here. And but yes, he's doing great. He hasn't had any seizures since then. It's a febrile seizure, so if you've heard that word before or are familiar with it, they're not uncommon, and they're usually for kids from pretty much from infant to about 6 years of age. Usually with a sudden onset of a fever, it doesn't need to be a high fever, but just a quick onset of a fever. It leaves little to no mental damage. They call it a muscular seizure. But he had it. We figured just the stress. This is during a time where we were doing a lot of traveling. We were working on getting her passports renewed, and we were in the capital city at the time, doing a lot of work and a lot of traveling. We think it's just a compilation of stress and all kinds of whatever. We're not really sure. But anyway, he ended up in the hospital bed, and we praise the Lord that he's okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your prayers. I know we sent the prayer letter out emailed out right away when the first one happened. We're convinced that, you know, through the prayers of God's people, that he's still alive today. So you can go to the next one. Oh. Yes, oftentimes, as Rob mentioned, with the hands and feet, it's a body picture. So the whole body of Christ has to work together. And you are our coworker. We're all coworkers together, or part of the body, and we're just having a hard time. What do we call this? Coworker, family? What? But
part of the body.
Pray. You give. You've been supporting us. We praise you for that. We couldn't be over there without the financial support as well. It does take money to survive in another country. And all the paperwork and processing of visas and stuff that go into the picture. But we are God's fellow workers in there. And you can go. Brian, go be God's hands and feet wherever he is. Mm-hmm. He's gone. He's already running. He's practicing the foot thing. Okay, next one. Oh, now I'll let Sarah go through some of the pictures here. This is real common where we're at. It's an island country. People live right on the water. The fishing is a big area of work or livelihood. Yeah. Like getting fish, selling fish, cooking fish for people. Little restaurants, a lot have to do with what they get out of the water. Rice fields using the water, and next one.
This is just a tribal team. The two men in the picture photobombed us. So,
photobombed.
Totally photobombed us. So there's some village politics going on there. But yeah, this is just me. We visited a tribal team. This is the tribal work that's on the side of a mountain, so there's no airplane that can get in. And we went in on the helicopter with the kids. Quick little 7-minute flight. So. That you can see, like, our family wouldn't have been able to visit and encourage these two. The two ladies, the two ladies with the hat are actually on the team. The other lady standing between them was a friend that came in with us, but she knows them. And so anyway, we just got to, if we didn't have the helicopter, I wouldn't have been able to go in with the kids. It would have been Zach going by himself at that
point. It's hard to put all of them on the back of a little motorcycle.
Not on the bike. So, and then what was interesting for me was the gal on the, it's your left, in the blue shirt.
The blue shirt.
Bright blue shirt. She is cute. The lady with the baseball cap on is actually from this people group, and she partnered with these two single gals partnered to become a unit in the tribal team. And the other lady, Rufi, that she confided in me with all these little things, bits of culture shock she was having. And it was my first experience where a national complained to me about their culture shock. And I was like, oh, so these, it is actually, it made me realize how important it is for them to complete this, our training that we do, because they do experience culture shock. And it was interesting for me to listen to her, and I think the reason she confided in me was because she knew I would understand, and she knew that we had a similar understanding of cultural differences, and why do they keep asking me for my stuff, you know? So she just, it was kind of cute how the tables were turned. You can go to the next slide. It's just a bunch of bananas and some papaya there.
Lots of tropical fruit. Yeah, we're right on the equator there, so it's hot and humid all year long. Abundance of tropical fruits and vegetables.
Every time we go out, we pass this banana stand. This next one is in the the picture you guys saw of us standing with the airplane, this is that tribe. This is in Buru. And our girls just loved it. They loved getting in there and helping these ladies wash their vegetables, wash their dishes, wash their clothes, all right there in that same spot. Our girls just loved being a part of that. So we just shared that with you guys. The next slide. This is actually right outside right on the other side of our fence for our backyard. You can't see the guy. He's in the cart. You can see his back there. I couldn't get a picture of him, but anyway, we see these carts at least a few times a week. Maybe not every day, but it's just the most common thing. It's a fun. We always hear afterwards, "Oh, I wanted more pictures," so we put a lot of pictures on this time. He's harvesting the coconuts there in the coconut grove that's all around our house. And yeah, and this next picture is that's Eli being a helper there with the wheelbarrow. These students have one day a week there to look for funds to help pay for their school. So this is one of our students, and he comes to our house, and works in our yard on Saturdays, and it's an opportunity for him to earn money. And so it's really fun. We've actually really enjoyed each worker that's come and worked in our yard. It's hard sometimes at first. They don't realize that we want to give them a steady job. They come back every week. But once they get that, then a relationship really starts to get being built. And we do a lot of discipleship on Saturdays.
It's a whole family thing. The kids hang out with them. We get two guys from the campus. And we favor the Papuans.
The hard workers.
We're not discriminating or whatnot, but they're hard workers compared to many of the other people there. And we do have work that needs to get accomplished besides just the fellowship. So they work hard, and we have plenty of time for fellowship. And the whole family enjoys the Saturdays that we have with these guys. But this is one guy we've enjoyed, and he's actually working on a team now back in Papua, Northern Papua. And it's just exciting when they become like our foster kid. And I see him every day. So on campus, I'm with him. The family usually sees him about 3 or 4 days a week, because we all as a family go on and are involved in campus events throughout the week. So
They see the good, the bad, and the ugly. So that's where real discipleship happens.
Yeah.
This is just not an everyday thing, but a very common thing. Somebody looks like somebody had a birthday party or there's some kind of a contest, and they give the kids these goodie bags. This is Eli looking confused because he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing. It's probably his first one. I don't know how many of you know. Go to the next one. This is me and my love. Farming and livestock. We don't have a lot of space, so I've got chickens. And they give us eggs and meat that we know doesn't have any hormones in it. And our kids, they enjoy it, so they get a little bit of that. The next one that's actually the Lady Rofi that I was telling you that was sharing with me about her culture shock. This is her house.
She and her
coworker live here, and Zach and our family and another one or two families sponsored to put their solar system in so they could have a few lights at night and charge their laptops for stuff. Going to the next one. A big part of being there is eating the food. This guy's cooking, I believe it's pork with a little bit of vegetables inside of the bamboo there, and it's really yummy stuff. Zach's grandmother or his grandparents were missionaries to the Congo, and one of her advice that she gave to me, she said, take pictures all the time, because to you it becomes normal, but to other people it's not normal, and people want to see. So this is the kind of stuff that we see all the time. If I saw this guy in Fresno, I would walk, a little further away maybe, but this is just a normal guy. It's changed my view of outward appearances.
And this is on the campus. We're having an event there, which is fairly normal.
Next picture.
We do a lot of fellowship around food. If you're not really sure about that, just hang around for another hour and you'll find out a little more.
This is just a trip that we took with our campus group. We put these up. There's some of our coworkers. We go to the next one. some more me and my coworkers. I'll be team teaching the health class, the health and wellness class, with a couple of the ladies from the campus staff. So next one is a different tribe that we visited, and this is just a dorm for these students that are from a tribal group, and they have to come down for higher education. They have some primary school, but they come down for higher education, which is for them would be sixth grade and sixth to 11th grade. And they don't have family that can come down with them, so we have some friends that have set up a dorm, and they disciple these young kids, and because they come down into a highly Muslim area, and it's not easy for the kids. It would be easy for them to have Muslim boyfriends or girlfriends, get married, and just become Muslim. And so these kids, this is an important ministry for this tribal work here. Go to the next slide. This is a thank you, and then you can keep flipping through some of the slides.
There's some blank ones. She just kept kind of putting some
pictures. So you can just keep clicking.
Oh, I think that's...
Is that it?
Oh, did you get the one? Oh. You said you wanted to see life from my perspective.
Oh, that was it. Okay, so...
Well, and then another, just previous was the picture with Rachel. We were really blessed. We have had a few people that have been able to come out, including my parents, who actually came when Elijah had his seizures early last year. But Rachel came out, and just we kind of wanted to share that because we know there are people that were praying for her on that trip. But the reason primarily that we actually had invited her to possibly come. Was we needed to get 2 years of curriculum out to us, and to ship that amount of curriculum, the weight in books, to ship it out, it was approximately the cost of 2 plane tickets round trip. So we thought if one person could bring it out and carry that on with a little extra weight, it would save a little bit of money than actually paying just to have it shipped out, which really doesn't give us a guarantee over there. We've had issues with the postal service, so here you shell out about $2,000 to have that amount of books shipped over and maybe or maybe not get it. So we thought, well, one way that we could get it for sure is if somebody is willing to come out, and Rachel was willing, and we were really thankful for that, and she was able to spend some time with the kids, which was great, and we appreciate that from Rachel and her family, who actually supported her doing that, being back here too. So yeah, we know most of you were probably aware of that at the time, but we just wanted to throw
that's
out
how there. My brain works. And I said, Zach, how are we going to get this curriculum that I need to order? Because we know it's like 200 pounds, or it's a lot of books. And it's 2 years of schooling. It's
for three kids.
It's for all three of the kids. Once the girls are done with it, I just set it aside. And once Eli's that age, he can use the same stuff. And Zach said, well, you might have to fly out and get it and bring it back. And then my head started thinking, oh, I can go see people. Or we could pay the same amount and bring somebody to see us. So that's how it ended up. That's how it.
So if you're ever thinking down the road you might want to take a trip, we could definitely take you on a side little vacation if you want to make it part of a vacation to some island, do some snorkeling or something, make it pretty nice. But yeah, we will definitely, if you know you're going to go that way, we'll probably fill your bags up. Anyway, that's what we'd like to close with that. But again, the bottom line is really having to do with missions, being a missionary. It's really, we've been blessed abundantly through Christ, and the good news that we have been able to take part in, and when we know that there are people that don't have that good news yet, it just burdens us, and we want to go and in one way or another see them get access to that good news and hear the good news of the gospel of grace. And so we thank you for your support, and we plan on going back out right now. Our ETD departure?
ETD?
I don't know. ETA? Oh, that's arrival. Anyway, is right now it's probably late August of this year we'll be going back and jumping right in over there working with the school again. So that's our plan right now, Lord willing. We'll see. We do have some medical things and some other stuff we're trying to take care of. And yes, sir.
Do you have an immediate need, like right now, that you could use help?
Did you hear him?
The question was, do we have an immediate need that we could use help with?
Oh.
You mean like to eat lunch? Oh.
My brother-in-law, I don't know if you noticed, but he didn't hear what I said, and I wasn't close enough that he could read lips. So
you got, what is this stuff here?
So, and then the beard kind of hinders his view. But he, whenever they come, he needs to like get to a hearing doctor when they're here in the States and get his hearing checked and renewed, because the hearing aids he has right now really aren't working very well. He was over helping me put some shingles on a roof in the shed, and I would be like, well, he's really humble about this, but I would call out a number to cut a shingle, a size to cut the shingle at, and he was like, yeah, that's funny. And then I look at him again, and I was like, 28 3/4. And he's like, oh, 28 3/4. And then he goes and cuts it because he's looking and he reads your lips. And so he's in the process of getting some new hearing aids and seeing some doctors. But those are like between $2,000 to $5,000 per ear, right? So that's a huge need that they have right now. So if that's something that you feel like is on your heart, you could help out with that.
I can give you some information on that, actually.
So, yeah.
So I did, yeah, okay, since we're talking about hearing aids. I go to a specialist, did my hearing check. I did it twice this time, but I didn't like the first one. She said I had zero speech differentiation.